BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hello, this is the Scott Mills Daily Podcast featuring the last ever 24 years at the tap end and an emotional sunscreen moment. Sarah Cox goes bonkers on Real or No Real and ends up talking about indoor bungee jumping. How do you get to be a mystery shopper? And all the Keens from the Keen line. Hello, it's Scott. No, wrong. Good start.
BBC Radio 1.
Have you forgotten how to do it?
Yeah, I think I have. It's only been a day. What's going on? Right, so today it's all about the finale of 24 years at the tap end. That's going to be at 1:45. If you're keen, so many people are calling our keen line, by the way. We'll get to that later. 81199. So we're saying this is the last one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's been going for a long time. So it feels right, as you were saying, after recent events to end it here. So 1:45 today will be the last 24 years at the tap end. Make sure you're listening, because it's going to be a good one. Went to this awards ceremony yesterday.
Oh, how was that?
I didn't win.
Is this... You sound a bit bitter about
no,
it, if
it's
I'm
fine.
Honest.
I didn't think I was going to win, because it was one of those where... Chris Evans had won for the last 5 years or something, and he won again. So,
yeah.
No, it's all fun. It's all fine.
Did you have to do the awkward thing where you sort of smile and clap?
Yeah, I did. I was like...
But inside, you're crying.
I wasn't crying. I didn't... To be honest, I didn't expect to win it. The coolest thing, though, happened, because it was a lunchtime thing, which is why I wasn't here yesterday. I sat next to this guy, who I reckon was probably in his late 40s, and he was talking to me. I really recognise his voice, but where from? And it was really bugging me all the way through the meal and all the way through most of the awards. And eventually I just came out with it. I was like, I'm so sorry, but where is your voice from? And he was like, ah, you'll recognise me. I'm the voice of Siri.
No.
Yes. I do not understand. That's him.
Did you get him to say stuff then? That would be the first thing, wouldn't it?
I did ask him to swear, because obviously Siri doesn't
right.
do that. He wouldn't do it.
Does he refuse to swear?
He's like no, I'm not doing that. You might be recording me.
That would be amazing.
How cool is that? The best thing ever.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Often on this show we ask, are you keen for loads of things? Just let us know if you are or not. And last week we set up a keen line number you can call if you ever think of a keen that you are. And you can't wait to share it. And it's gone crazy. Like, the line just fills up all the time. We have to keep deleting messages because the inbox keeps getting full.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's very popular, the Keen line. Here's a few of our favourites from it.
Oh, Chris. Oh, Scott. I'm just driving on the M40 right now, and I thought I'd let you know. I am Steve McKean.
Hi, I'm Craig from Reading. I just want to say I'm Will Young's ever keen.
Good one.
Hi, I'm so keen that I am Kim and Aggie's How Keen Is Your House?
Yes.
Hello, it's Dave from Essex, and I'm Itsy Witsy Teeny Keeny Yellow Pocket Dopper Keeny
ASAP Rockeen.
I am Keenan and Kel.
I'm so keen, wet through.
I'm Jack and the Keenstock.
Yes.
I'm Steve from Hastings, and I'm Roberto Mancini.
Famous tennis star Juan Martín del Potro, keen Ashton, former West Ham footballer.
Not another keen Moody.
I am a Zanussi 1200 spin, Washing McKean.
Yes?
Hello, my name's Matt, and I am Geoffrey Chaucer's The Keen to Retails.
This is Dan from Bristol, and I am Isambard Kingdom Brunel.
Hi, it's John from Edinburgh. Just want to let you know that I am the Great British... Baking off.
No. Hello, I'm Sean from Wales. I am the Keening Tower of Pizza. Rowan at Keenson. By the way, my name's Peter.
Hi, it's Dave from Buckinghamshire. More importantly, I'm from Milton Keynes.
Good one.
Hi, Scott. George
Williams
from Chester.
I am Al Pacino.
I am Keen Barlow from JJ in Cornwall.
I'm Myra McKean from Hollyoaks.
Hello, it's Dave from Essex, and I'm Kane. Hang on. What am I? Yeah, okay. I'm a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Legend.
Do you get the idea now? I like that guy at the end. Just like messed it up.
Hello, it's Dave from Essex again, and I'm Kane. Yeah. Hang on. What am I? Yeah, okay. I'm a
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, see, he regrets calling now.
He's one of those that panics on voicemails by the sound of it.
That Hero Turtles one is a popular one, but always remember to do the actual pun.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's John from Scotland.
No. Didn't do it. And this isn't even one.
Right, Scott, Chris, Simon here in Canterbury. This team is the Keen of the Crops.
I'm embarrassed for you. What is that?
But thanks for the call.
Just a little bit. A little bit more. Just a little bit. You know what I'm keen for.
No. No.
Hello, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Bye.
Bye then.
You just can't put the word keen in at random. That doesn't work.
I like it.
And here's my favourite Welsh person ever.
Hi, Scott. Chris, it's Bob Jenkins here again with another keen. I'm so keen. I miss congeniality. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Bye then. If you've ever got a keen, if you ever think of one, 07879 908 067. 07879 908 067. Terms and conditions on the Radio 1 website, if you're keen, that is.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, this is quite annoying because I did meet the bloke who is Siri yesterday, but at the moment it's refusing. Did I meet you yesterday?
Sorry, Scott, I can't schedule events in the past.
I'm not asking you to schedule an event, and the last two times before that he was like, I can't say. We definitely met.
It's like he's denying it.
Yeah, he's like it never happened. Mm. That was Gabriel Aplin and Please Don't Say You Love Me. And this is Scott Mills on BBC Radio 1. Innuendo Bingo, I think, was all good yesterday. Went very well. I know that Matt Edmondson really, really enjoyed playing it. And we're going to do that again tomorrow. And we need some clips, please. If you see anything a bit rude on the radio or TV, see anything on the radio, you know what I mean, then Scott.mills at bbc.co.uk. Give us a rough time of when and where you heard it and what they said.
He kept saying happy birthday to me every half hour, from what I understand. Yeah, he just kept doing it.
It's very kind of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Right, this guy is way too keen for Tap End on the keen line.
I'm Keen Bedeen! Keen Bedeen!
Sure. People will remember where they are when they heard this, the last ever episode of 24 Years at the Tap End. So please, now text your mates. It's a few minutes away. Maybe do a tweet telling people to listen. Let everyone know on Facebook it's about to be the last 24 years at the Tap End. And when when you're having a sad moment, you're thinking, oh, I miss Tap End, don't forget all of Season 1 and Season 2 are available for you to listen to anytime on the Radio 1 website. I got a message from somebody yesterday that spent the whole day listening to pretty much all of them.
Yeah, I think there's about 8 hours worth.
Yeah.
So there's plenty to catch up on.
I mean, it's a marathon. It's the equivalent of like a box set.
Mm.
But, you know, if you've missed any, it's all there for you on the Radio 1 website. The last episode is coming up.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And for the last time, theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the Tap End.
At the Tap End.
I can't believe this is it. The last one, the last 24 years at the Tap End.
How are you feeling about it, Scott?
Weird.
It is a bit weird when these things come to an end, but it's a good thing. It's like when we finished Series 1, it felt like the right time, you know, and this feels like the right time to finish this series.
Nathan and Carl have pulled over in their car on separate sides of England to listen to Tap End, but have just rang each other to go, are you listening?
Oh.
Also, Kirsty in Colchester is supposed to be going to a meeting at work in 10 minutes, but she's got to wait in her car. And Kaylee, who's having a lad bomb to toast another outstanding season of 24 years at the Tap End.
Right. Bit early. But
yeah, that's fine. It's not.
We've talked about so many things this series,
I know,
really, haven't we?
I feel like I've got to know all of your mates now that aren't me.
Yeah.
Still not met many of them, though.
No.
Strangely, but I know them through this.
You're always invited.
My favourites are the dating ones, I think, and all the girls we met. Eileen, you know, you had to dance with her, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
I liked, well, all the girls. Ethel, there was Millicent.
Yep.
I seem to remember being the one being called Winifred. Which one was
that's
she?
That's right. Winifred was from the Valentine special. You know, Winifred, I left those flowers for her and she didn't know they were from me.
Oh, that was really sweet.
Emotional one, that.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Do you remember the episode with the sexy ghost? The Halloween special with the sexy ghost.
That was good. There were Christmas specials.
Yeah.
A lot of people are asking that obviously it is ending, but will we do, you know, like they do on Only Fools and Horses and the Royal Family? Like, will we do occasional specials?
Right.
Can we be persuaded? Like Gavin and Stacey, you know, when they go, well, we might not.
I like this. I like the idea of doing the occasional special if it's the right time.
Yeah.
I think at this point we should say that we won't do a special because they always say that, don't they?
Yeah, but then they always do.
And then they do it when the money comes.
Okay. So what's happening on this today?
Well, I was just thinking about a lot of the tap-ins that have happened, and I know your favourite one was the one about sunscreen.
Yes! That's still my favourite.
I don't know if some people might not remember this, but this was from series one of 24 Years That Tap-Ended, and it was where I did a school assembly all about bullying, and we decided to use a song called Sunscreen, which is, you know, really famous by Baz Luhrmann, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what happened is we'd hold up cards with individual words from the song to illustrate sort of the key phrases. So when Baz Luhrmann said ugly, we would hold up a card saying ugly, and it all kind of went wrong because what happened is I thought what would be nice for this assembly is I blagged a load of these sunscreen miniatures from a shop that rhymes with Hoots.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, yes.
And spent ages doing it, but I was stitched up by everyone in my class because what they did was remove the lids. So when they were just meant to be chucked out at the end as a sort of nice finish to the assembly, the teachers and students all in that assembly got covered in sunscreen.
Yeah, because the tops were off. But like, it was a nice idea.
Yeah.
But that's still my favourite to this day. So is this related to that?
Well, I was thinking about it and I got in loads of trouble for that. And I look back at all the tap end things and I think through everything, though, there's been lots of laughs, but we've learned a lot of valuable lessons.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some, you know, life lessons in there that you've passed on.
Yeah, and I feel like I've exposed myself throughout this series, if for use of a better phrase.
Yeah, you have, yeah.
So with that in mind, I thought to be special, I'd like to take you to my 25th year at the Tap-In if you're keen.
I'm my favourite drink, Kino Grigio.
Oh, wow. And I'm a jacket potato with cheese and keens. And to celebrate the last Tap-In, if you're ready...
Ready.
I've got this for you.
Sit back, relax. It's time for the last episode of 24 Years at the Tap End.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2013, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis, more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Generally, I've made the right decisions with life. I may have spent 24 years at the Tap End, but there has been some great times. Some of my greatest moments have been mistakes I have made, often at times I didn't expect. Trust me, at the time, I thought school was proper boring. But realise that the opportunities at school are opportunities to do stuff you may never do again. I once released 3 sheep, labelled 1, 2 and 4, to cause chaos on muck-up day. Don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. I once organised a canteen boycott because I didn't like the price of their chicken burgers. But if you're going to protest, don't throw apples. It only gets you in trouble. And when faced with an angry teacher, avoid calling them mum in front of your mates. Don't throw sausages at Germans. Swing. If it's your first time dancing with a girl, put your hands on their waist and not on their shoulder. Bosh. Be careful when learning cookery. Don't put pasta in a kettle. Don't turn the toaster on its side for quick cheese on toast. It will only cause a fire. Eating 22 chicken nuggets for a world record is hard. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Travel to foreign lands.
Let foreign people travel to yours. But don't get angry if your exchange tries to kick pigeons. There's more important things in the world. Push yourself. When we did the Pizza Hut challenge, Chango the Beast didn't know at slice 22 whether he wanted to carry on. At 24, he still didn't. Drink beer, not Fanta. The first time you go to a foam party, stay calm and embrace it, even if it can feel overwhelming. Maybe you'll kiss Kesha, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be spat on by a pussycat doll, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have a girlfriend by 14. Maybe you'll tell Pixie Lott to leave you alone on your 25th birthday. Whatever you do, ignore any trolls that have a go. Or better still, love them. They're a reminder of what you could have been if you were a loser. I've learnt that anything can happen. I would never have thought that one day I'd be inviting a Hollywood movie star to a Watford game, or that Rita Ora would be wearing my socks. Understand that girls will come and go, but if you have the chance to meet a girl, make sure you talk to her. Do not ride the lifts in big red boxes. They will only make you look ugly. Don't raise your pinky finger. Never go on a date to Build-A-Bear. Travel when you can. Expand your horizons. Whether it's Malia or Kavos, Magaluf or Zante, get out and see the world. It's good to get shirts made, but I don't recommend getting ones with the lads written on the front. I was 17, and as a group, we looked anything other than lads. People laughed at us. Generally, even though they say don't be too scared about flushing paper down the toilet in Greece. It's only ever caused me problems once. Turn your lights off at beauty spots. There's nothing more embarrassing than breaking down on top of a place with a view and someone having to be sent out to sort out your car battery. Especially if the only person you can call is your mum or dad, or worse, hers. That said, avoid Harrow View at night. If you travel to Boulogne, don't declare a nudie pen at customs. Even though it may feel bad at the time, the authorities aren't bothered about them, but your teachers will never look at you the same way again. Most importantly, surround yourself with good people. I found myself some mates that I've been lucky enough to grow up with and have had some amazing times. Sir Dossa, Chango the Beast, Dougsy, Webbo, Chazza, Jono, Cantona, Chinese Dave, and the Convict. We've all learned some lessons. I hope you've learned from the mistakes I've made. But trust me, I spent 24 years at the Tap End, and I'm the Sun Keen.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did 24 years at the Tap End. At the Tap End.
Do you want to see the innuendo bingo video from yesterday with Dev off of Early's and his amazing laugh? Go on the Radio 1 YouTube channel right now. Tomorrow on innuendo bingo, it's a return of our old favourite, Gemma Kearney. She thought she was being bumped off last week. She came in going, oh, is that it, is it? Oh, yeah. Oh, been replaced, have I? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Giving it all that attitude. But so we let her back on.
I couldn't tell if she was joking. That's the only problem.
I think she was. But Gemma, we still love you, and she's incredible in doing a bingo. Mm. One of the best.
Oh, yeah.
That's tomorrow at 1:45. So one of my mates is trying to get a bit of extra money together at the moment. He's a student. Mm. You know him, actually. And he's done a bit of work at concerts, you know, where you have to like hand out flyers at concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
Normally in Angel Wings.
Oh, is he one of those?
Yeah, yeah.
But only angel wings?
Yeah. No, you get to wear, you know, limited clothing as well. But just, you know, it's all right money. Trying to earn a bit of extra cash. So he signed up to be a mystery shopper. You know where you go in secret to, like, shops, restaurants, in secret, pretending to be a customer?
Yeah.
I'd be rubbish at that.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't be very good in disguise. I mean, no, I know you don't have to wear a disguise, but I just wouldn't be very good at being a normal
incognito
customer. I would just mess it up. I'd say something wrong. Anyway, this girl he knows has been doing it for about a year, and she's been to, like, restaurants, really nice restaurants. She's been to shops. She went to test, a new spa at a hotel. She's got it good, and you get paid to do it. So he's like, yes, I'm going to do this, taking her advice. Mm. It takes ages for the application to go through. He's been waiting, like, a few months. So finally, all gets agreed. He gets his first assignment as a mystery shopper. He's thinking, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to get paid to eat dinner at a brilliant restaurant, or, you know, I'll get, like, a free night in a hotel or something. What's the first thing he gets to do, do you think, as a mystery shopper?
I'm just thinking of all the possibilities of things that you could do, and they're all good.
Pretty much, aren't they?
Yeah.
He had to go to a train station with the timetable printed out and stand there all day in the freezing cold to see how many trains are late.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Apparently...
Is that a mystery shopper duty?
Well, apparently, he's found out since that mystery shopping isn't always shopping. You can be, like, at petrol stations. You can be, like seeing how late the trains are at train stations.
He was basically counting trains.
Yeah, he's basically a train spotter. Gutted. I want to know, if has anyone been a mystery shopper, what do you have to do? And could I do it?
The Scott Mills Daily.
So many people have done mystery shopping. But it's not always in shops. But Paul says, like, you can sample food, there's beer, wine, hotels, holidays. He says someone might even be mystery shopping our show right now.
It's not me.
Which one of you is the mystery shopper?
Well, I'm looking for the one who looks the most suspicious. Mm.
What do you want from us? What are you trying to find out? Nothing to see here. Mitch started on a car wash. Now he does three-day weekends across Europe.
Hello.
Hello. Someone had to go on a toll road and pretend they had no money to pay and see what they did. This is awesome. And I would quite like to wear a disguise. I think that would be fun.
Mm.
That'd be the fun part of it.
But also, what I'm thinking, these people that work in shops and that, they must worry every time someone comes in. They see someone in a big jacket.
Yeah.
And big glasses or something.
You know what? For whatever it is, like a couple of, what, 20, 30 quid, I'm happy to whip up a glasses and moustache combo.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It sounds excellent.
The Scott Mills Daily.
All right, Billy in Rochdale says they don't necessarily walk in with massive coats and glasses on. They're just trying to blend in. Okay.
But I think you want them to know that you're a mystery shopper.
Yeah.
Because you're sort of getting treated well, aren't you?
Kerry in Cardiff says, I work in a shop. We get mystery shopped once a month. And we get marked on it. Get into lots of trouble if we don't. Well, that's not fair, I don't think. I think you should make the mystery shopper a bit more obvious.
Yeah.
Like, with the disguise or whatever, just so they can know that it's you and then be on their best behaviour.
Mm.
Otherwise, you don't know, do you? Who's coming in? Sam gets free pizzas and beers all the time. Emily, who says she's a cheapskate student, says, it's brilliant. I get free lunches and clothes all the time. Admittedly, you have to start doing something a bit rubbish, but you kind of work your way up. So eventually, like, you're staying in a hotel, you're living the dream. It's the dream, this.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Still intrigued by this mystery shopper thing.
Like, loads of messages about it.
How do you get to do it? And also, how do you get to do the good stuff? I mean, I don't really want to... Like, someone had to buy back pain tablets or something from a chemist for a month to see, like, what they said, like, in terms of how many times a day you take them. Boring.
You want the spa, hotel...
I'm all about the spa right now. That's what I... Yeah. It sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
I definitely think we should send you out at some point as a mystery shopper.
Listen, I'm well keen on that.
But a really obvious one. Because I think it's only fair on the staff. Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Right, tell me about your mystery shopper experience.
Well, I was just starting a new job when I was 16, and it was like my second shift and a mystery shopper.
Where were you? What shop were you?
Big department store.
Okay.
Big department store. And we were told someone was coming in that day to do like evaluation of us and whoever they talked to.
Oh, so they did tell you beforehand?
They did at this place, because I think they hired them themselves, but I was so scared that I hid in the storeroom for most of my shift. And I kept walking past customers as if I was really busy and I couldn't serve anyone. So I didn't talk to any customers for a day.
Right. And were you looking at every single customer with suspicion?
Well, if anyone came up to other people I saw working, I was like, it's definitely them, it's definitely them.
Like, I know, because you've got to kind of work it out, haven't you?
What were you looking out for?
Anyone that looked like they were sort of purposely asking us to help them or, like, order things online for them, like, test us what we could do. And
this is what we need to do. Like,
I was brand new. I ran away.
Yeah. Well, not helping anyone at all or any customers.
I know. I can't believe I got paid for that day, to be honest. I did nothing.
So you just hid in the storeroom for most of the day?
Me and this other girl, we made friends because we were brand new and we just hid in the storeroom.
This is brilliant.
Good work.
We're still friends. So.
Was there anyone in some kind of disguise? Maybe glasses, a hat or a long trench coat?
Well, apparently the guy who actually was wearing a suit that day, so everyone thought it was him.
Wearing a suit?
Yeah, a bit smart for a Saturday.
You see, that might be a little telltale sign. I quite like it that they're kind of giving you a little heads up there. I think they should be honest, and the mystery shopper should be really, really obvious.
They should wear a T-shirt with mystery shopper
written
on it.
I'm the mystery shopper. Thanks, Steph.
No one would talk to them.
I know. Love you, bye. The Scott Mills Daily. Time for Wednesday's Real or No Real. We do it slightly earlier because of the official chart update at 3:30. Sarah Cox in the house.
Woo, in the hizzy house.
Okay.
It's exciting. Not played this for ages.
I know. And I like your, I just like your general views on the facts that we give.
Yes.
I like it when Sarah plays.
I do a lot.
Because she's a bit mad. And it makes for good conversation.
I might be completely serious for this feature now, but I doubt it.
Today it is a Red Nose Day special ahead of actual Red Nose Day on Friday and the Radio 1 Breakfast Show tomorrow with Grimmy, where we try and raise loads of cash for Comet Relief. Are you coming in early?
Yeah, are you?
Yeah.
Are you going to put some fake tan on?
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on?
I've heard a little rumour. Mm. I'm not sure I'm happy.
Why do you mean
neither.
Fake tan?
What?
Why would you need fake tan?
We might get a bit fleshy.
Yeah, more on this tomorrow. For now, it's Real or No Real. And all of these facts or not are Comic Relief related. Are we ready?
Ready. Yes.
Here we go.
For Red Nose Day 2003, Claudia Winkleman did a sponsored pregnancy, raising more money for every hour she was in labour. Claudia charitably managed to prolong her ordeal for 23 hours, meaning she raised £7,000.
Good on her.
Wow.
Good amount there.
Well, I do know that she is a big supporter of Comic Relief.
Massive fan of the cause, yeah.
So she had to backdate. She had to make sure that the conception happened to then coincide with Red Nose Day.
It's forward thinking.
Yeah, but she would do that. And also, obviously, she... There was a time where she had to kind of, you know, hold back.
Right.
They were like, don't push, Claudia, don't push.
Well, sometimes you can push and the baby can go back up again by accident.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm learning a lot here.
She could have also used a handstand or a headstand. Would have been. I think I remember that footage. It was Lenny Henry there.
I thought this was a joke. This is definitely not real, surely.
I'm sure I remember Lenny Henry in a surgical gown.
Well, he delivered the baby.
Yeah, I think so.
No, he didn't. You've told me about the handstand trick before.
Oh, that's for the conception side.
Oh, I see.
You don't know. You'd see that's totally the wrong way around. You do for the conception. You do a handstand.
Hey?
Right, okay. But you don't do it during the birth. If there's any pregnant ladies listening there, that's why you'll not find that on any DVD. Well, you might, but not on a birthing DVD.
Sorry, I've got wrong ends there, haven't I?
I'm very confused right now.
Okay, Claudia Winkleman, sponsored childbirth, pregnancy for Comet Relief, real or no real?
Ooh.
I'm going to say no real
on
this one,
Scott. I'm
going
to say no real, actually.
That one is real.
Hey?
Yes.
That's not.
You were right to remember Lenny Henry in a surgical gown.
Shut up.
That actually happened.
What do you mean that happened?
It did. £7,000 she raised.
That can't be real.
Did you press the wrong button?
No.
You can't just gloss over this.
I think you'll find that we're looking it up for you right now.
A sponsored pregnancy.
So when the child goes, Mummy, why did you and Daddy have me?
Yeah, Comet Relief. Be,
yeah, for, yeah. For
to
comic.
Raise money for the kids. Okay, that's incredible. Next one.
For reasons which have now been lost to history, Jack D spent the entirety of Red Nose Day 2003 standing on top of a pole outside BBC Television Centre, moaning about the cold.
I vaguely remember this, I think.
On top of a pole?
There was something weird where someone was, and I can't be sure if it was him, but I remember thinking at the time, completely pointless.
What is the point of that?
Someone had to literally just stand there all night, from what I remember.
How high was this pole? Like a really, really tall one?
I think outside Television Centre, if I remember correctly.
That's what they just said.
Oh, was it in the fact?
Yeah. Like David Blaine?
Yes, but he just stood there.
Yeah, I didn't even do anything.
Sounds pointless,
but the kind of thing that might happen, I think.
I'm going to say real on this one. I might be, for some reason, this rings a bell.
Can you remember seeing this? Jack D on a pole.
I don't know why this would stick in my brain, because it sounds incredibly dull.
If you'd ever seen Jack D on a pole, you'd remember.
That's true. Mm. I bet he had to have some sort of harness on, you know, like those indoor bungees that they do at shopping centres. You know what? The indoor bungee at my local shopping centre, you don't know it's there when you're on the sort of mezzanine level until you see like an 8-year-old fly up into your vision. You're like, what? You're like, oh, it's the indoor bungee. Because they're on like the lower ground.
Yeah.
Yes, real.
Okay. Chris?
I'm saying real.
That one is real.
But yes. Why?
Yes!
It did happen. But did this one happen for Comet Relief?
For the 2 weeks leading up to Red Nose Day 2005, television's Nick Knowles took over as the voice of the speaking clock. The Who Dares Wins star was so committed to the good cause that he did as much of the voiceover as possible live, sometimes speaking for up to 5 hours at a time.
Oh, he's a trooper, isn't he, Nick Knowles?
Sorry, so if he's doing this live, anyone could call the speaking clock at any time and he would have to... He'd be doing that live.
Yeah.
The time is...
Hi, I'm Nick Knowles and the time is 4...
What, even in the middle of night?
12.
Just be like, oh, it's exactly. Two-ish.
It's, the thing is, it's the kind of thing they would do.
They did this. I'm sure I did it. I'm sure we've done it at Radio 1, Andy.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've done been the speaking
I
clock.
Seem to remember something where I did the speaking
yes,
clock.
Yes, we all did it. We've all been the speaking yes. clock and we've not remembered it. I think it was for charity.
Yes, a while ago.
But it wasn't
but
for
Nick Knowles went in and did it live.
You wouldn't just do that as a sort of hobby between you, would you?
I'd do it paid.
It's pretty cool. Yes, I would.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're listening.
Is that a hint?
Yeah, neat little gig. Me and you back together again.
Do you know what I mean? On the speaking clock. Hello. Anyway, real or no real, Nick Knowles speaking clock.
What are you going for, Sarah?
I'm
going
to go for real.
All right, for competition purposes, I'm going to go no real.
That one is no real.
Oh.
But we definitely did it. We didn't make that up.
Yeah, we've definitely done it. Loads of DJs did it and loads of actors and stuff.
Next.
Roly-poly radio funny man Chris Moyles was so tired during his 2011 longest show challenge that during one of his breaks, he showered using a sachet of mayonnaise, thinking it was a free sample of shampoo.
He was knackered.
What was it? 52 hours, wasn't it?
And they are a similar sachet.
And he does carry mayonnaise on him.
Does he?
At all times, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah, he has it on a little chain around his neck.
No, he doesn't.
He does. You know, like GIs have those dog tags on the chain. He's got English mustard, barbecue sauce and mayonnaise on like a dog tag.
This is why I love you.
happens upon a snack. Hey, Chris, I love you, by the way. And I think that one is no real, because I know Comedy Dave went for a shower and a nap, maybe. And I don't think Chris did. Or did Chris go for showers? I'm trying to remember.
I think he did have a shower. It's really hard to remember. Anyway, real or no real?
No real.
I'm going to say no real.
You're saying no real to the mayonnaise shower blunder?
Mm. That one is no real.
Yes.
Yes.
And finally, on this Red Nose Day Real or No Real special...
Red Nose Day 2003's Celebrity Driving School ended in farce after contestants Gareth Gates, Paul O'Grady, Nadia Sawala, Natalie Cassidy and Jade Goody all failed their tests.
Nadia Sawala.
Did this really happen? Amazing.
I think it did. I seem to remember watching something about a driving test with celebrities. It'd been a shambles.
They all failed.
Wasn't the cones involved where they're all having driving
cones?
Oh,
it was pathetic. It really was pathetic.
Did they raise any money, did they?
You see, I think this is real
purely based on the cast list there, the names of the people
that
were
involved.
They're
too good to have been made up. I think it's real.
Yeah, all the regulars are there, aren't they?
Nadia
Swahali?
Swahala. Yeah, I did Desert Trek with her.
Yeah. She's nice, actually.
She is nice, yeah. And also, very good cook.
What does she do? What does she do?
She does cookery stuff on telly.
Does she?
Yeah, because I went on it once and she made one of those vine leaves with rice in the middle.
You pretend to like it?
No. I was really honest. I was a really bad sort of cooking program guest because I was like, it's horrible. Like wiping my tongue.
Which is the first rule of cooking programs. You're always supposed to look like you like it, even if you don't. Yeah. I've done that so many times. It's like, it's delicious.
Bet.
Celebrity driving farce for Comet Relief, where they all fail their tests. Real or no real?
I'm going to say real on this one.
I'm saying real too.
That one is real.
Yes.
That happened.
I've got more news on this Winkleman. You can't be glossed over. The sponsored pregnancy. She was sponsored for every hour she was in labour with her son Jake, who was due on Red Nose Day. And she clocked up $7,000 in 23 hours.
That's brilliant.
Wow, that is amazing.
That's so good. Thank you, Sarah Cox, for playing Real or No Real. At the end of that, the scores are...
Sarah scored 30, I scored 40.
Ooh, oh, yeah, so close. Thank you.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We're back tomorrow, 1 till 4 on BBC Radio 1. Innuendo Bingo 145 with Gemma Kearney. Scott Mills.